Hello, this is Pastor Lorne Richmond welcoming you to this week's broadcast of Lead Me to the Rock. I'd like to begin this morning from the book of James. Again, we've been studying. I always tend to go back just a couple of verses and pick up from there. So we're going to start with James chapter 1 and verse 19 and read through the end of the chapter this morning and then continue on in our study. Hopefully get through the first chapter of James on this week's broadcast. Beginning with verse number 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you might bless your word, speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we talked about how that we ought to be a people that are swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And certainly we know that the anger of man doesn't accomplish anything for the work of God. And then we need to put off that filthiness in our lifestyle. And certainly we need to be a people that will take the word of God, and it's been implanted or engrafted into our lives, and that's what saves our souls. But here we begin with verse number 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And certainly it's one thing to hear the word of God. It's another thing to do it, isn't it? Oftentimes people, because they hear the word of God, think that they're all right. But if we don't do what we hear, I'll never forget years and years ago in New York City, we were holding a stewardship banquet, and I had one of my deacons there who I was hoping that God was really getting to his heart, and we had a speaker, and he was preaching the word, and kept hearing this loud amen. Amen. And certainly was thinking, man, who in the world is getting excited about what's being said here? And realized it was this deacon. And, you know, he was very good at letting people think that he was responding to the word of God, but you never saw it in his action. And so that certainly ought to be the way it is with us, but we need to actually hear and then do what it is that God speaks to our heart about. And I think that's when we know that God's word is getting through. The word of God says, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're like that man that looks into the mirror and doesn't do anything about it. He thinks that he's okay. And I've been there many times. You know, you wake up in the morning, you're a little tired, and you glance into the mirror and maybe don't turn the light on and really don't get a good look at yourself. And you think, oh, I'm good this morning. You get out later on out in the public and you thought, man, what in the world was I looking at earlier on? I should have done something about it. But oftentimes people will look into the mirror. They'll take a look at themselves and they don't respond. They don't make any changes. And this particular person beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But then the word of God says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and we're talking about the perfect law of God, and continueth therein. In other words, you know, you're going to live by the book. I recently had opportunity to talk to one that was considering doing some work on our house, and this individual claimed to be a Christian business, and immediately the response was, well, do you have a deductible? And when I shared with him what that deductible was, he said, you know what, we can take care of the deductible for you. And I thought right away, you know what, that's not the person I'm going to deal with. You know, the insurance company says there's a deductible, and someone who's willing to take care of the deductible, basically they're willing to cut the corners and perhaps jack up prices so that they can kick something back. And this is supposedly a so-called Christian businessman, and we just determined at that point we were not going to deal with them. We had someone who was unsaved who came in and was doing things the right way. And you know what? It's a shame sometimes that the world does things better than what the Christian does. That certainly had not ought to be the way it is. We need to keep the whole law. We need to do what the Word of God. We need not to break it. We need to live according to God's Word and have a testimony. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which art in heaven." So we need to be a people that look into the perfect law of liberty. We live by the book. We love it. We're enlightened by it. We're desiring to have God's Word speak to our hearts and lives and affect us in such a way that the people will see our testimony and they'll want what we have. And this one being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. You know, so oftentimes we're under the conviction of the preaching of the Word of God, and somehow we allow the distractions of the world to get in. And we have good intention. We have the plan to make some changes. We desire to really be used of God, but somehow, some way, something happens, and somewhere along the way, we stop reading the Word of God. We stop praying. We stop hearing God's voice and doing what He wants us to do. And we become, in a sense, that forgetful hearer. But that's not the way that we ought to respond, but rather that we'd be a doer of the work. And then the Bible says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And boy, is it a wonderful thing when God's blessing your life. This past week, we had an opportunity to baptize. We were able to baptize 12 people. And Lord, that certainly was a wonderful thing to be able to impact some lives with the gospel and to be able to see them follow through, not just to hear the Word of God, but to do what the Word of God says, to obey the Lord. And certainly we need to teach people to do that. And as we do, God blesses us. And then they, in turn, the people of God who respond to our message, are also blessed. The Word of God says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." You know, going back to verse 19, it says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." You know, when we can't control the tongue, and the Bible says in a natural man that no man can control the tongue, but it's only the spirit filled man, the man who has the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, that causes him, he receives the imputed righteousness of God into his life. That's the individual that's able to control his tongue, not on his own, but by the help of the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That man is more than religious. He's one who's able to please God and to bring honor and glory, to give God the honor and the glory for whatever happens in his life. But this other man, the contrast to that is the one who seems to be religious but can't control his tongue. You know, it's amazing some of the things that come out of people's mouths at times when they put on a show, but they really don't know God, or they're really not living according to the Word of God. This one is one who deceives his own heart, and this man's religion is vain. That's certainly not the child of God, the way that the child of God ought to live. And then it goes on to say that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, quite often when a disaster takes place like Haiti, everybody all of a sudden is jumping to get involved. But you know, that's the way we ought to live our life weekly and daily and on a regular basis, trying to make a difference in people's lives, trying to make a difference with a widow, trying to make a difference with the orphan, getting involved in the nursing homes and the prison ministries, and helping those families who have needs and because of someone perhaps being incarcerated. And that's the way that God judges us, to show the world that we love God is the way that we respond to these people. And certainly we ought to love them, not for what they can do for us, but rather just because it's our obligation as a child of God to bring honor and glory to his name. And I certainly want to encourage you today to come to the Rock. I would encourage you to do what you can to live out your Christian faith, that the world might know that you truly love God, so that they might also come to the Rock. Certainly, I believe that God will bless you for this. I just would ask that you, if you've never come to that place where you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you would call upon him today, acknowledging that you are a sinner and believing that he can save you if you'll ask him to do that. He certainly will do it. And I want to encourage you, and I want to ask that God would bless you today.